This evening, we continue a series we've been going through called Christmas Stories, where we've looked at the smaller stories that make up the bigger, larger, grander story, which is the story of Christmas, the story of God coming through to restore, to redeem, to renew. And tonight we come to a man and a woman who had waited and who had longed. And what we'll find this morning is find that they found something. They found the thing that they desired. They found the thing that they had longed for. And tonight we want to see what are the things that we long for as well and how we can find what they found. This evening we come to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, we read this. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul as well, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were awaiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let us pray. And dear Heavenly Father, Father, there are longings in our hearts that this season just conjures up. Longings for things that we have waited for so long. Longings for things that we have lost. And Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you would begin to show us what these longings are ultimately pointing to, what the thing that truly fulfills the very longings of our soul. And Holy Spirit, would you do that now? Would you reveal, would you show us our sin and show us our Savior? We thank you. Speak to us now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's something about the Christmas season that brings forth this sort of longing in every man, woman, boy, and girl. Whether it's the longing for the presents under the tree or for the family get-togethers, the parties, the fruitcake, home, or frankly, to avoid all of the above. It's just something we can't seem to escape. But let me ask, what happens when those longings are prolonged? When they're delayed? What happens when you miraculously turn into Bill Murray and Christmas Eve turns into your own personal Groundhog Day, where it's almost always Christmas Eve and never Christmas? So close, yet so far. You see, in tonight's Christmas story, we come across a man and a woman who knew a lot about longing, even when things take longer than expected and not according to plan. Our story actually begins with silence. For 400 years, God has remained silent until all of a sudden, an angel shows up to bring good news. That the people of Israel had been waiting for so long, but the radio had seemed to have gone silent, and most had have given up hope, or at least really paying attention. They had gotten used to the silence and seeming slowness of God and created their new normal for themselves, because whether they were opposed or indifferent, there is a power in the seeming slowness and silence of God. It had a power over them, and it has a power over us. You know, perhaps you felt it. Maybe it was a time when no matter how hard you prayed, you never seemed to get an answer. Maybe it was a time when everything seemed to go wrong, nothing went right, and you began to question anything and everything. You see, often the first two things that come to mind when we begin to question is we begin to question God's goodness or God's godness. You see, when life is hard, when answers are delayed, when we fall into the trap of thinking God doesn't care, or even maybe He's not even there, this is the temptation that Simeon and Anna faced. This was the temptation that we all face, and this may be the temptation you are facing even this night. Life has not gone according to plan. Things have come up. God has seemed slow and He has seemed silent, and you really begin to question, are you really there? Do you even care? See, my question for us tonight is, how does Christmas get us through the waitings and the losings of life? Our story picks up with a man whose longing was tested in the waiting of life. We aren't told his age, we aren't told his height, his weight, his occupation, but we are told about his character, shown in his waiting. It seems that for Luke, the writer of this gospel, the most important thing for us to know is to know that this Simeon was a just and devout man who waited. You see, in Simeon, we see what true grit, what true character looks like. In fact, we are shown what the true Christian life is really all about. It's about this: holding on to a promise. You see, that's all he had. He had the promise of a hope, the promise of a redeemer, the promise of a child who would come, the promise that he would even get to see him. You see, that is all he had. That's all we have. That is really what it means to be a Christian, to be a Jesus follower. You see, it's not about what you've done. And some of you have done some horrible things. I have too. It's not about what you've done. It's about what He has done, and simply trusting and banking on that. You see, it's not about your badness or your goodness. That's what people get so wrong about Christianity. It's about badness and goodness. But what it is about God's graciousness shown to us in the birth of this Son, in the life of the Son, in the death and resurrection of this Son. Perhaps you can remember the longing you felt as a child for Christmas. You know, there was something special about it, wasn't there? I mean, the lights, the decorations, the songs, the presents. But didn't it seem that there was even something more? There was something more than that. It seemed like anything could happen, that it seemed almost magical. And it's funny, whenever you watch a Christmas special, they always seem to talk about the longing for the magical, for the festivities, for the generous, for the miraculous, even if you don't live on 34th Street. See, I believe that longing is a good thing that has been misplaced. One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, would kind of describe it in this way. He would say it was a longing that is pointing us to a deeper and greater longing. That the Christmas longings that we all have are a longing not for a man-made Christmas, but for a God-made Christmas. In the Christmas story, what we find is the truly magical, the truly festive, the truly generous, and the truly miraculous. As God Himself takes on human flesh and moves into the neighborhood right next door. We call that the incarnation in the fleshness of God, a miracle of untold proportions and of a grace of an infinite extent. You see, in this story, we come face to face with true generosity, with the generosity of God. As we see that God generously gives that which is dearest to Himself, His own Son, in the miracle of the virgin birth, the God-man would come not to receive, not to be served, but to serve, but to give His life as a ransom, as a substitute for us, in order to do something very simple and very profound, to bring us back into relationship with God Himself, the very thing that you and I were created for. You see, He came to deal with our true problem, the problem of our sin and its devastating consequences upon ourselves, upon our relationship with God, upon others, and upon everything that we see, feel, taste, and experience, that everything around us has become broken. That is what Simeon tells Joseph and Mary. That behold, this child will be for the rising and falling of many in Israel. And Mary, there is a sword that will go and will pierce your very heart as you will watch this promised child, this miracle baby, to be slaughtered for the sins of those who hate Him. You see, the thing that our hearts truly long for, the things that we really desire, is the magic and the miracle, not of those Christmases, but of this Christmas. Not the one we see in the department stores or on the TV shows. And like Simeon, this promise can be realized even for people like us, because Jesus didn't come just for the religious people, not just for the put-together type people. He came up for screwed-up, messed-up people like you and like me. You see, He said He came for sinners, which is us all. And you know what? We find ourselves in those moments where the waiting causes us to doubt, that in this story we find hope. Because when we look to the Christmas story, we can find hope to carry on. We can find hope when the waiting causes us to doubt the promises of God. For God will not remain silent. That is what the story shows us. And that He is not slow. He is precise. Precisely because He loves us. He is not slow as some judge His slowness. That He has been working and orchestrating all of creation up to this moment when the Son of God will step on the scene. But you know, this isn't the only type of longing we find at Christmas. There's also the longing of losing. It was just last night I sat in my living room staring at the Christmas tree with my wife and my children in bed, and I began to reminisce. I began to think of all the Christmases that have gone before. And this melancholy began to come over me as I began to consider what has been lost. Perhaps that's you tonight. Perhaps when you come to Christmas, it brings all these memories of loved ones who now are gone, or a nostalgia for a different place or a different season of life. And what the Christmas season brings to your life is this overwhelming sense of loss. Such was Anna's story. A story of such unimaginable loss. Her story is of a love and of a seeming life that was lost. And you see, for Luke, the most important thing for us to know about Anna is to know about her loss, to know about the losing in her life. She was married young and had a husband for only 7 years. By the general tradition of that time, she would have been married in her young teen years and is already a widow by the age of her early 20s. She had faced extreme suffering, had lost the love of her life. Her life would then have no love, no husband, no children. Very little means to support herself. Hopes and seeming dreams had been lost. 60 years alone. You want to talk about a life of loss. But what is so amazing about Anna is that she didn't see it that way. You see, the love of a man or of a child was not her desire. Sure, she probably longed for those and desired those, but there was a greater longing in her life, and it was for the love of her God. And what so amazes me about both of these characters is that no matter how long they waited, no matter how much they lost, no matter how much circumstances changed, their desire for things to be made right, their desire for salvation, their desire for God Himself to see him never, never waned. You see, they saw that the waiting was worth it. And what was lost could not compare with what would be gained. And that is the perspective that the story brings us of a joy that is so great given in this child, that waiting is worth it. When God seems silent is worth it. When in these moments we find that we have lost so much, we find it can't compare to what we have been given. Over the past few weeks, we've watched as the wars in the Middle East are coming to an end. We've heard story after story over soldiers coming home to their wives, to their kids, to their families. And tonight I want to watch one story of two little girls who waited. Two young girls who lost valuable time with their daddy, who longed for his coming, and the joy they experienced the day that daddy showed up.
It really is. He's not on the computer.
He has been in Iraq for the past 350 days. Master Sergeant Joseph Myers was anxious to make it home to his daughter, Addison.
I missed my daughter's first steps. I missed her first words.
That wasn't the only daughter he missed. Hannah thought today was going to be a regular school day.
Where's my daughter? Come here, baby.
It was anything but.
Come here. God, I love you. Oh, I missed you so much. Oh, I missed you. Surprise.
You know what strikes me most about that story is that his little girls never lost hope. And when their daddy stepped in sight, it didn't matter anymore how long they had waited or how much they had lost. All that matters is that he was here now. Surprise, it's daddy. You see, it's that feeling that Simeon and Anna felt the moment they were surprised by the Christ child. And that is the joy offered to all of us in this child. You see, unlike those girls, our Father was not fighting some enemy in some distant land. For the Bible tells us that we were the enemy. That we had declared war on God in our sin and our rebellion. But yet, while we were God's enemies, He gave, He loved, He died for us so that we may have that moment when the thing we truly longed for and desired so much, the embrace of our Heavenly Father, may come to pass, that we may hear, "That is my child. There's my daughter. There's my son." Johnny Erickson Tata reminds us, he says, on this side of eternity, Christmas is still a promise. Yes, the Savior has come, and with him peace on earth. But the story is not finished. Yes, there is peace in our hearts, but we long for peace in our world. Every Christmas is a turning of the page until Jesus returns. Every December 25th marks another year that draws us closer to the fulfillment of the ages, that draws us closer to home. When we realize that Jesus is the answer to our deepest longing, even Christmas longings. Each Advent, each Christmas brings us closer to his glorious return. When we shall see him as he is, King of kings and Lord of lords, that will be Christmas indeed. See, this Advent, this Christmas, may we be pleasantly surprised by the sight of our Heavenly Father, who has gone to unknown extent, tore up heaven and earth to pursue us and to redeem us. I pray that you will see Jesus as the answer to your deepest longings. And that this Christmas you will turn from your sins and turn toward your Savior. And hear those words, "There is my son, there is my daughter." And to find in and through the person and work of Jesus, God himself welcomes us with embrace. This evening, I pray that you don't leave this place without knowing the real reason why we celebrate a Christmas. The real reason why there is so much joy no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you have done. Whether you're Anna or Simeon or another broken, messed up person who wasn't paying attention, Jesus came for people like them and like us so that we can know the wonderful statement that we may be his children, that we may be brought to him. Christmas is about the greatest gift ever given, and that gift is himself. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how amazing it is that through your son, through this child that was given, we have the privilege of calling you that, of knowing that we do not come to a holy, just judge who is against us, but a holy, just judge who gave himself for us. That though our sin was so deep and so wide, Jesus was steeper still. And Father, as we come to celebrate as families, as friends, as neighbors this season, oh Father, may that sight, may that moment that we saw in that little girl when she saw her daddy remind us of the longings that are fulfilled in the sight of our salvation. As God comes with open arms through this Christ child to live for us, to die for us, and to rise for us so that we can have a life like we've never known it. So that we can have a love like we've never experienced. So that we can have you. Thank you for that gift. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.